tonight we're going to cover a multitude of topics. I'm going to get to the two Knick games and currently got the Rangers game on the side. But tonight also I'm going to talk about podcasters and people knowing their worth. I feel like it's an important conversation to have. But I want to have some fun. I want to joke around. I want to show you some crazy clips. I want to talk about my Knicks. I want to do that all. Welcome to the pod. I'll see you guys in a second. Let me drop the intro.
You feel that now? I feel like Rocky in this one, baby. Let's go. Alright, check it. Blast from the past, back from the future. So if I pull the trigger in the past, it's no you and your future. I'm still hustling, still hugging the block. The referee to the shit, I'm still calling them shots. I can't be stopped, that's what I told you. I'm living my life like a box of Crayolas. I'm cutting up white, smoking that green. Purple color pens, I'm still making this cream. I'm so sick, check my throat quick. My wrist light up a room like a handful of glow sticks. I'm like spoiled milk, the kids gone bad. Dennis the menace, my pen touches the pad. Niggas is mad, but the ladies is glad. Yo, they rubbing up against me like this nigga is rad. Fucking two divas, drinking on sangria.
Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the greatest podcast ever created. Welcome to the best place to be. Welcome to the podcast for all sports conversations that take place in bars, barbershops, cooler waters, all those conversations that happen everywhere and all these arguments on sports, they're happening here on the Rick A. Show, the three-time Land Podcast, award-winning podcast. I'm your host, Rick Yarrow, the greatest podcaster of all time. Now, I'm very excited. We're currently live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Instagram. So today's episode, I want to talk about my New York Knicks, obviously. The Rangers are currently playing. I'm sorry. I meant to have this up. So Rangers are up 3-2 in the second period with 6 minutes and 32 seconds to go. So super excited about that. So let's get into it. So Knicks, we wanted that smoke. We won the 50th game. We ended up locking up with Philadelphia. Everybody else, in the soft NBA that it is nowadays, was worried about seeding, was worried about who they're playing next. This is my issue with the entire NBA and the way it is now, right? There really is no rhyme or reason to playing hard and winning games during the season. All these NBA players are soft. No, that's number one. The fact that players lose games on purpose for seeding purposes in the playoffs, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, one. Two, J.J. Redick and Carmelo Anthony were talking about this on Carmelo and Merrill's podcast, how teams purposely lose games at the end of the season for seeding purposes. If you're worried about first-round matchups and you're worried about seeding in the playoffs, then why are you even competing to be in a playoff spot? You play to win the game, basically. That's kind of like, excuse me while I adjust myself. That's, you know, it's not the NBA I grew up on. Jordan played 82 games for most of his career. He never sat out. There's no such thing as load management. And he played in a much more physical league. This NBA is, they're a joke, the NBA. Players nowadays are highly paid. Like I said, the league minimum, I think, is $1.2 million for a player. Tobias Harris is making around $40 million. And Tobias Harris is a bum. You could call him up, tell him I said he's a bum. Tobias Harris is legit a bum. So I don't know why he gets paid so much. And I'm guessing it's because the way the league is set up. But Tobias Harris is a big-time bum. He makes $40 million. He's not worth that because Jalen Brunson, who's a much better player than him, gets paid left. First thing. Second thing. What's up, Jay Black? I see I got a couple people tuned in on Instagram. He's correct. AI played with several injuries, right? You played 82 fucking games. So the Knicks, they won. They didn't care. It wasn't about we want all that smoke or they just, we play to win, bro. If you play in a game and you like, and you're that far into the season and you're playing like strategy and you're losing games on purpose, fuck out of here with that. You play to win the fucking game. Now, if you win and you just happen to get like a really tough first round matchup, so what? That's what you're supposed to do. I actually wanted the Miami matchup, not because it would have been easier for us, but because I feel like playoff time, shout out to Juan Bago because we're having a conversation and he brought this up. Come playoff time, you got to face your demons. Jordan did it against Detroit. You know, LeBron did it. Everybody goes through the Warriors went through. Everybody goes through that. That one team that blocks you and you finally beat them and you finally get over the hump. So I wanted Miami for that purpose. Like I wanted to get over that Miami hump. I was tired of hearing Miami this, Miami that, whatever. E, what's going on? So that's why I wanted the Miami game. That's the first thing. Second thing. All these people come out, Charles Barkley, Shaq, everybody's like, oh, the New York Knicks. Philadelphia is definitely going to win that series. They're definitely going to win that series. Philadelphia, we play Miami one game. We're going to win that game at home. And then we got the Knicks. Easy schedule. We're going to beat the Knicks. We're going to beat the Knicks. So that already pissed me off. And then Draymond Green goes on and he's like, yeah, Philly got the easy matchup. Philly's going to beat New York. Okay. I get that they got Joel Embiid. I get that, you know, it's a tougher matchup for us. I get that. All those things, right? But just to straight say that we're going to lose the series before even game one is played is wild to me. Wild. Because you guys don't know what New York is made of. You guys don't know what the... I mean, Charles Barkley and Shaq played in the Garden, so they know how it gets come playoff time. They brought the animal out of all the Knicks, right? So game one comes on. First quarter was pretty rough. I kept saying to myself, hey, if we go down at halftime and it's at a reasonable number, like let's say 6-8, around 6-8, we're down by 6-8 points at halftime, we'll be good because Knicks are a second half team. So I'm watching the game, and all I'm seeing is my guys being resilient, fighting, being gritty. Everything New York is, the Knicks displayed it on that court. You know, Josh Hart, like, come on, man. Like, my favorite Knick growing up was John Starks, right? John Starks, Oak, that team, that was my squad. To see Josh Hart play the way he plays, it just, like, brings tears to my eyes. That man gives everything on the floor. Jalen was struggling. Deuce picked it up. We had a couple players that played better. It was a tightly contested game. Then our bench came in, and they lifted us up. I didn't think, you know, Philly was like, we should have won game one. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no the fuck you didn't. No the fuck you shouldn't. First of all, your two best players made 60-some points. Our best player wasn't even going. And we still beat y'all. We still beat y'all. Okay? So, game one was ours. We out-hustled them, out-played them, out-rebound them. We took the fight to Philly. Philly came out quicker than us. I was a little worried. They came out quicker than us, but we took the fight to them, and we took control of that game, right? So I'm happy, you know, I'm going around the weekend, all smiles and stuff. Then my Rangers won the following day. Yeah, by the way, that's perfect for me. I get to watch my Knicks, then I watch my Rangers. I can watch my Knicks, and I watch my Rangers. Perfect, perfect. I hope it stays like that. I know there's a day where they play on the same day. I'm not looking forward to that. But I hope it stays like that. So I think that that's great. Now, game two last night. I'll be honest with you all. I was nervous the entire game. Again, reasonable number. You know, if we down, we down. But we can't be down by too much at halftime. That's the way I view it. You know, if we're at striking distance at halftime, then we're doing something right. So I'm viewing the game, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man, you know, this – it don't look like a typical game. I mean, we were still sticking around. People were – contributing. The thing with the Knicks, man, is not just one player. This is what gets me upset. We're not one player. We're multiple. We're super deep. Everybody on that team wants to contribute. Everybody on that team is unselfish. They're looking for the open man. They're moving the ball around. They're grabbing down rebounds. They're fighting. They're clawing. That's what I love about the Knicks. That's why I love the way they play like a 90s NBA basketball team. That's exactly why I love the New York. So I'm watching the game. I'm a little nervous because I don't see us going on a nice stretch. We didn't lead till like, I think it was late in the third. And throughout the whole game, I'm like questioning Tibbs, like, yo, Tibbs, come on, man. Put the bench in. Give the bench a little burn. Let them crawl a little into the game. Chew up that lead a little. Try to get us close. You know, I think Tibbs should have told Jalen, drive the ball, drive and dish more in that game because his shot wasn't going. And it's not going because he's missing. It's going because guys are defending him really tight, size, getting on his face, in his chest, and rushing him to shoot, which is a good tactic. Cool. All right, you guys are going to do that? There's ways to, you know, combat that. I think Jalen should now, like, in that game, he should have facilitated, drove the ball more, faked the shot, looked to see for the open man. And I honestly want to see more Bogdanovich and DiVincenzo running together at the same time on the floor, giving Jalen two options on the outside that can knock down shots. And whenever they tempt Josh and they give him that space, let Josh take that shot. That's just how I was feeling throughout the whole game. I'm like, man. Then, you know, I'm watching the game with my wife. This is the first time I watch a playoff game with my wife, a playoff basketball game with my wife. She was just watching the game, enjoying it, you know, saying little comments like, oh, my God, this guy's pretty good, or that guy's pretty tall. Man, she's talking about Embiid and Maxi. Like, Maxi was pretty fast driving to the basket. And I'm like, I'm looking at her like, shh. Don't curse my Knicks. And when we took the lead, she was like, oh, okay, you know, they're fighting. That's good. Then it happened. We lost the lead. They came back. They were up by 5-6 with 40 seconds left. I was like, this game is over. I swear to God, like, this game is over. I had switched the channel. It was like a minute left. I had switched the channel. I was like, I can't watch this. I really was like torn up inside, and, you know, my chest started to hurt. You know, I think I was getting like a fever or a cold or something. And it kind of felt like I was dying inside. Like, it hurt, like my heart hurts watching us lose. So then I put the channel back on because thank God there was nothing good to watch. I was like, I just put the game on. Let me see what's going to happen. Jalen gets that bounce to go in. First of all, Jalen's shot was off all game long. That was a little bit of luck, right? Thank God that shot went in, right? Then they cough up the ball because we play defense. When you're playing basketball and you're down by several points and they got to inbound the ball, what you got to do is you got nothing to lose. Put the pressure on them. Play them really tight. Make them get nervous to cough up the ball. They coughed up the ball. Regardless of what this last two-minute report says, they coughed up the ball. Because if this was in Philly, it would be the same thing. The last 2 minutes would be a lot of Knicks complaining about fouls and stuff like that. So we're in Madison Square Garden. You guys couldn't inbound the ball properly. Because even the pass to Maxey, he couldn't control it. Like, I got to watch it over again. But I know the ball ends up back in the air. Then he chases it down. And Josh finally picks it up. What'd you think about the no call foul? I like that. I like that. It reminded me of the 90s. No blood, no foul, bro. No blood, no foul. So then Hart picks up the ball, dishes it out. DiVincenzo misses the first shot. Now I could tell DiVincenzo wasn't set properly for that shot because I think he kind of rushed it. He pushed it. And this is the playoffs. This is the NBA playoffs. Like, I don't want ticky-tack fouls determining games. I was okay with the no call. And if it happens in Philly, I'm not going to complain if we don't get calls. That's just how the game is supposed to be. This is the playoffs. Let the players play. Anyways, Nick Nurse was talking about he was trying to call timeout. He never actually called timeout. He looked like he was about to do a signal for it, but he never did it. So Hartenstein gets the rebound. Insane. Insane. And my heart's like already pumping out my chest. Like, oh, my God. Because when Jalen's three went in, I was like, oh, snap. They only up by, I think it was by two. They're only up by two. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, they were up by two. Oh, my God. And I'm like, oh, my God. My wife was like, she stood up. She was standing on the couch. My wife was standing on the couch. This woman does not stand on furniture. And she was looking like, oh, my God. Then DiVincenzo missed the shot. Hartenstein gets the ball. I don't know how he got it out to OG. I swear to God, like, there was just so many bodies in front. He got it out to OG. OG quickly distributed the ball. And then that double bang, my boy Devo, that was just, that's probably like, I would say the Larry Johnson 4-point play, T-Mac scoring, I think it was 13 points in 30 seconds. It was just that type of atmosphere. It's just the ending of that game, I'll never forget it. And then at the end of the game, you know, we got Nick Nurse complaining about no calls. They didn't hear his timeout. He got to run on the court, bitching and moaning. Then we got Embiid. First of all, this is completely like, I don't respect Embiid ever. I don't think I'll ever respect him. He's in the locker room, face down, like this, playing with his hair.
We should have won the first two games. It doesn't matter. We're going to win the series.
I mean, he wasn't crying like that. But if I was that reporter, I'd be like, yo, dude, look at me in my face. I'm asking you a question. Like, I'm interviewing you. Why you got your head down? What kind of professional are you? So he lost all respect for me. I really like Tyrese Maxey. So let me give Philly their flowers. They do play faster. And I do like Tyrese Maxey. I think he is a lot quicker than our players. I think he gets to the basket a lot quicker. I think he has a crisper three-point shot. When he made that three from like 30 feet away, I was like, Jesus Christ, this kid could play. Very impressed with Tyrese Maxey. You know, I'm going to give Philly's day flowers. Like, it's a tough series. This is what I want to see. I want to see a tough series. Now, the goal is, because everybody's like, yo, Rick, we Eastern Conference Finals, baby. We're going. This is the year. This is what we're gonna do it this year. I'm like, yo, calm down. Relax, man. I've been watching the Knicks for 30-something years. Calm down. This is the problem with us, man. We win one game, and we think we in – people started posting one win, 15 more to go after the first game. I'm like, yo, relax, calm down, calm down. First of all, let's take it one game at a time. Let's enjoy that one game. Let's enjoy that one game. Then we enjoy the next game. Then we enjoy the next game. Then we enjoy the next game. Right? Wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't that be more logical? So I'm only worried about Thursday. I know we got two wins. I know there's 14 more to go to win an NBA championship. And an NBA championship is the goal, right? Yes, that's on my mind. But what's on my mind is Thursday. Like, the championship is back there. We'll wait. When talk to me when we had 13 wins. Then I'll be like, oh, we close. We close. So I need the Knicks to be focused one game at a time, play that one game with the same desperation they played yesterday's game, which that was, I will never forget that in my entire life. I will never forget that. I mean, every Knicks fan that was watching yesterday was like, holy shit, that was crazy. So I want them to play with that urgency. I want them to continue to – I feel like Tibbs needs to open up the rotation just a little bit. You know, maybe give Bogdanović a little bit more minutes. I think Bogdanović is ready, you know. Like, it took him a while to get into game shape because when he came from Detroit, we know he was not, like, in game shape and his shot was crispy, so – but I think he's ready. And I would love to see him and DiVincenzo on the floor together. Oh, my God. And then Philly's game plan is to go at Jalen. All right, go at Jalen, but you're leaving Bogdanović and DiVincenzo wide open for a three. Wide open. So I really think there's a few things. And Tibbs also, I think he needs to do the substitution. I want to see it, like, with more urgency. You know, I think sometimes, like, we go down by 10, by 12. You know, that's the time to, like, take a timeout, maybe make one switch, you know, tinker with the lineup a little bit. Tibbs is an NBA coach. I'm not telling him how to coach the team, but I feel like that's what we're missing. Like, if we're a little stagnant and they're adding to their lead, pull someone out, put someone in. And try to inject energy into that lineup. I really love how Mitch has been playing. I feel like Mitch locks down Embiid, although I don't think we need to lock him down that much because that man is hurt. Clearly hurt, not mobile, can't really do much. He'll put up 30 points. That's crazy that I'm saying the man is hurt. He can't really move, but he's still dropping 30. But it's facts, you know. But we'll see how this goes in Philly. It's going to be super hostile. Philly fans are probably second to us as far as passionate fans and in all sports, you know, their hockey team, their football team, their basketball team, they are like us, except they take it to an extreme, like throwing batteries at players. Like, what's up, bro? Throwing batteries at players? That's how we doing? All right, cool. That's what's cool in the streets. I don't know, man. But it's going to be a hostile environment in there. Fans are going to be loud. We just got to be nasty. We got to take the crowd out of it immediately. Last two games, we gotten off to a slow start. I think if we get off to a faster start, put points on the board real quick, we'll kind of calm down the fans. Once we calm down the fans, you know, we could control the tempo, control the pace, play our game. And if they do take a lead on us, like, again, try to keep it under 8 points at halftime, man, make those adjustments. I feel like we'll be okay. I feel like we'll be in every single game because every single player on the Knicks contributes, plays hard, and is next man up with us. And we're only rotating, I think, 7-8 guys right now, and our bench is even deeper than that. So I'm really happy where we're at. I want to take it a game at a time. If we do win a championship this year, I'm just putting this out there. I am getting a Knicks tattoo. If we win a championship this year, I'm 39 years old. I've been watching the Knicks, I'll say, this is the early 90s. I'll probably say 91, 92. That was probably the first season I really watched basketball. 30 years ago, I was watching the Knicks play the Houston Rockets for the NBA Finals. I was watching my man John Starks give Houston the fucking business that series. OJ, you know, split screen. My man OJ was being chased in his Bronco, and then that kind of like killed everything for us. So I feel like there's a curse of OJ over the Knicks. OJ passed away, rest in peace to the Juice. Both the Knicks and the Rangers in the playoffs, very similar to how it was in 94, is 2024, is exactly 30 years later. So these are just some of the thoughts that are going through my mind, you know. But one game at a time. Yo, Jerry, what's up, Jerry? Jerry, where you at, man? Should I send you the link? Could you come on? We talk Knicks for a second? Little Mets, but mostly Knicks. Oh, man. Let me see. Let me copy this real quick. So, yeah, just what an exciting time to be alive. What an exciting time. My Knicks, man. Oh, my God. My Knicks, man. My Knicks. And for 30, I'm going to say 20, 23, 24 years, I, like, suffered heartache, like, real heartache, like, that once in a lifetime, that one that got away type of heartache, that's what I felt with the Knicks. I've always want to see them win. You know, like I seen the Giants go to three Super Bowls, win two of them. You know, I've seen the Mets go to the World Series twice, although they lost. I've seen the Yankees win. I've seen the Rangers win a Stanley Cup in 1994. But the Knicks, this is the New York Knicks are New York. You know, this is what everybody, I think this city will go crazy. Like, they might as well give everybody a week off if the Knicks win. Let me see if I have Jerry's email here. El Modifoga. Oh, I do. Jerry, I just sent it to you. Yeah, man. I'm really... Jason, what's up? Jason. I should send Jason the link, too, and put Jason on, too. Jason, are you in the studio or something? But I really, really... By the way, Jason, I saw that you're a Nan Grasa guy. No likey, Dan Grasa. No likey. If you guys want to tune into a really good show, radio show, and you're driving early in the morning, tune in to my guy Jason. He's up here. Tune in to DiPietro and Rothenberg. Probably one of the best shows. Way better than Michael K. Michael K's show is not that great. They got that phony Peter Rosenberg up there. But let me stop. Yeah, DiPietro and Rothenberg. That's my show right there. They're pretty good. But I don't like it when Dan Grasa goes on. If you guys don't know who Dan Grasa is, trust me, believe me, you guys ain't missing out on anything. Yo, Jerry and Jason, I sent that to you guys. I didn't say I was a Grasa guy. I just took a picture of him and Rosenberg. You got a picture with Rosenberg too, man? Nah, we need to talk about ethics, Jason. Ethics, moral. The name of this episode is No or Don LaGreca. I like Don. I've met Don LaGreca. I got an autograph and a photo with Don LaGreca. I like. And Michael K is very knowledgeable in baseball, but I prefer Rothenberg and DiPietro. They find them more funny. I think Ray Santiago and RJ Santillo are probably the best at production. That's just that show is all around great. Don is cool. Dante from Clerks was there. Oh. Really? Dante from Clerks. Clerks is a great movie. Classic. Classic movie. You guys could join in on the conversation. You could ask questions. You could, if you're watching me on Instagram, I have to watch it live at the same time as I'm recording. But you guys can ask questions. I'm reading the comments. Some of the comments I'm getting to, some of them I'm not able to. Oh, let me see what's this. RJ's a great guy. Trying to work with him soon. I know his friend. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. If you don't know, my boy Jason Enriquez, he has a show. It's called First Class, Second Place. Very good podcast. And I recently went on his sports pod. It's called Yo BTV Sports. I had a great time with Hugo and Jason. I feel like maybe I should be the third co-host on that pod. Because Jason's a Jets fan. I'm a Giants fan. Hugo's a Cowboys fan, right? Hugo and Jason are Yankee fans. Man, you know, but I'm a Mets fan. So that kind of that creates, you know, content. That creates, you know, everything. Jason's a Knicks fan like me. I think Hugo's a Knicks fan too, right, Jay? Then what was the other team? It was Knicks, Mets. It was football, Knicks. Yeah, yeah. So I think I covered them all. I don't know about the hockey. Ron Kane. Wait. Jason, are you talking to me or are you talking to someone else that's on the live? He's a Rockets fan. Yeah, so I really love the energy right now. I'm in euphoria. My Knicks have won two playoff games right now. I'm only worried about Thursday. I'm not worried about game 4, 5, 6. I'm not saying Knicks in 5, Knicks in 4. I'm not doing any of that. All I'm saying is Thursday. That's it. And if we win this series, we'll talk about the next series. But how do you guys feel about the Knicks win? How do you guys feel about the Knicks? How you guys feel about the city? Tune in. Drop a comment. Let me know. Jason, I'm down. You send me an email. I think the first week of July, I'm kind of committed to something, but I would love to go on a pod anytime. Let me know. Just let me know. Lou, what's up? I would love to go on the pod. Just give me a date and I'll show up. Honestly. So here's my thing. I said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. If the Knicks go to the NBA Finals or win a championship, because I'm not thinking that far ahead. I'm just saying it now. If they do, it'll be around the time I turn 40. So I will get a New York Knicks tattoo if and when they win. Not beforehand like some of these crazy fans do. Knicks tattoo. Jay Black, you getting a tattoo with me? Knicks win the title? Let me quickly check in on the Rangers. Wherever they do great tattoo work at, that's where I'm going. I already have one that I have to do anyways, so I'm trying to find a good artist to sketch something out for me. But wherever they do great tattoos, that's where I'm going to get my tattoo. So Rangers lead 4-2, end of the second period, going into the third. Let's see. Yo, if the Rangers, nah, I probably do. Lou wants to know where in the body because he wants to get exotic. I'll probably get a tattoo. I vote ankles. What am I? Yo, a tattoo on the ankle is crazy. The Knicks logo on the ankle? Oh, that would be crazy. The collarbone? Nah, I probably do inside the, right here. What do you call this area of the body? I don't even know. Inside the forearm? I'll do that one. A Knicks tattoo on the ankle would be crazy. If the Knicks and Rangers win, I'm taking the week off from work. I'm going to both parades. Oh, you said get a chest tattoo like Rihanna? Oh, I'm down. A Knicks chest tattoo right in the middle? Oh, shit. Jerry got the suit on?
I'm dressed up for you today, baby.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen.
Jerry Diaz, ladies and gentlemen. I came to talk business. And I combed my hair, too. Look at this shit. It's all for you, bro. It's all for you. What up, Rick?
What's up, Jerry?
It's been way too long, brother. Yeah, thank you. Man. Thank you for having me on, brother.
My man. Jerry, you went and threw on a three-piece suit? That's crazy.
I was like, yo, I'm going to go on air right now. Let me do this officially. Cam and Mason go have shit on me when I'm talking my shit. Pause.
Oh,
what's up? We feeling good? We got a 2-0 lead.
I was just talking about, are you thinking like too far ahead? Or I'm doing one day at a time. Bro is in the boardroom.
I feel. I forgot the fancy water. Anyway, I was going to say, yeah, let me get two Perriers. Thank you. I'm actually at work. You know how I went through. I'm always at work. The sneaky job. Nah, bro. See, like, my thing is, first of all, I think people are, like, you know, I love that everybody's sleeping. You know, all the pundits hating. All the pundits. Well, I mean, we know the Knicks hate.
Shaq.
Everybody. Draymond Green.
Why Draymond Green hate us so much, man? Yeah.
Barkley, we already knew.
Philly winning game two.
Yeah, listen. Barkley, we already knew. Since he spit on that kid at the Garden, he's never liked the Knicks. All right? Because he's the only superstar that came here and didn't drop 40. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody else comes here and does their thing. Barkley never came here and did anything. So we know why he don't, whatever. So I never trust him. But everybody else is just hating, man. I just feel like they're hating. And no matter what the Knicks do, they continue to hate, you know?
I think it is a good thing, first of all. Because I know.
It's great. It's great.
I know for a fact Brunson listens and takes all of that in and just. I know my man got to have like a little hit list or something.
I think this is why this city loves this team so much. Mm-hmm. It's because they're encompassing what the city really fucking is. You know what I mean? 100%. You know, hard workers, underrated, you know, oh yeah, it's all right. And then like gritty. Yeah. Like even our A1 superstar, because he is an A1 superstar, you don't drop 40 for a month and not be a superstar, excuse me, and everybody has to butt their way up, and he's there. But
it's more impressive that he's under six feet and he still does what he does.
Do you understand what I'm saying? He's doing what he's doing, and it's all the thing about this team is it's the same. I'm having flashbacks of the 90s teams, right? Because
you haven't saying that for 30 yeah, minutes.
I heard you a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, I heard it. I'm gonna bring it back. But well, there's a couple of things, right? One, this is a team defensive minded team. Like it starts at defense, which is a bedrock of those 90s teams. Because to be completely honest, we were limited, very limited offensively, and not as talented offense. Like our best player was Patrick Ewing at that time. And I love Patrick. He's like one of my favorite Knicks, but there's only so much he can do athletically, you know. And actually, it was a big man's game then, so we were okay. But now I feel not only do we have players that are like defensive minded, but they're buckets, man. These guys are walking buckets. Big Ragu, Anobi, you know, Hart is a dude. Again, it's the attitude of the team. Hart, Brunson. These are guys that you're not going to be like, these are not the first guys that come to your mind.
Bogdanovich, Deuce.
You know what I'm saying? Deuce. These guys are dogs, bro. They're dogs. So it's giving me flashbacks of the 90s, you know, defensive team, Rangers. Rangers are in the playoffs playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a death around OJ. So, you know, it's all 90s.
Jerry, 30 years ago, I remember John Starks smoking the Rockets.
Absolutely. And let's not forget that block shot. People want to talk about the 3 for 27, whatever, the 3 for 19. Let's not forget, it took Hakeem Olajuwon stepping out of the box and blocking that three that would have probably gone in game six, but John Starks was on fire.
John Starks on fire. Was giving them the business that whole
season. Come on, man. Come on, man. You know, so and called, listen, I you got to ride or die. OJ curse. Yeah, you got to ride or die. You got to ride or die with you guys. And if Starks got you there, if Starks got us there, we had a ride with him. You know, that's how I feel a little bit. I mean, once it was like 3 for 13, it got a little rough to watch. But
but
like you still shooting. But I still like the confidence of like you still putting it up. Look at Brunson yesterday. Terrible game.
He's still shooting.
The only three he hit was that one in the end. In the whole game.
That bounce. Oh, my God.
Bro. So now we're getting into teams of destiny. Now we're getting into teams of like, wait, everything's kind of clicking and forming. And the one thing that I'm going to, that this Knicks team has that I'm going to say separates them from the pack of everyone else is that they're a team of fundamentals, right? Mm-hmm. So they're not going to beat you, you know, shooting 83s. They're not going to dominate you in the paint. They're not going to, they're just going to, we're going to out rebound you. We're going to grab every rebound that we can. We're going to play defense. We're not going to, every play is on. 48 minutes we're going to play.
Tight defense.
48 minutes. 48 minutes we're going to play defense. And they,
shots.
The other part of it is even on offense, they're so sound fundamentally. Like we're seeing a little bit of the, you know.
I was talking about, I don't want to cut you off, but I was, I think that we need to, if Brunson starts to have a terrible game, not a terrible game because he still dropped 20 both games, but
he's still doing it, right?
Shooting was not where it normally is. But if he starts to do that, one of the things I want to see is I want to see Bogdanović and DiVincenzo on the floor at the same time.
At the same time, yeah. Two wings on the both legs. Like, although, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. They're going to be throwing
bodies at Brunson because that's their whole thing.
But all I know is – all I know is there's not there's not a better shooter in the wing than Anunoby either. In those wings, you got one on one side, one on the other, and you know, And the I one thing that's
Chicago though, I was really upset about that trade.
Which one? The OG. Yeah. Oh no. Right. I remember, I was listening.
Chicago was sitting me up. He was like, yo, Rick, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I think this is gonna be a good move for us. It's gonna give us more opportunity. I was like, "Yeah, but we lost quickly, dog." Like
I think that's what hurt. I think that's what hurt us the most. All of us that know the game, we know what quickly could become, and what he was doing here. But
and I think we needed to give RJ more time. I feel because in that draft class, right now, RJ's the one that's been on the
kind of the most consistent. Right. Well. Yeah. My thing is also, I think Brunson, it was going to be too much, right? Because you want him to develop into a more of an overall player, right? Offensively, you want him to score, you want to do all this stuff. Where I think the Knicks, the Knicks just need role players. Like, you know, and Anunoby's not going to want to go, he's not going to try to drive on every run every time he gets the ball to try to shoot it. The same thing with, you know, exactly. He's thinking about defense. He's thinking about other things. So he makes up for all the stuff that Barrett lacked, right? So when we saw that, once we went on that run, then we only lost two games. Then we saw, wait a minute. It's the system, right? So, and I look, a guy like
Bogdanović, which I still feel we have not.
Oh, but you saw it in the last game. My man came in and it's like I'm gonna touch the ball. I'm chucking. But that's his role. I think
he's just getting going in our system now.
So here's the irony of this whole thing, right? Because I'm not big on Randall. I haven't been big on Randall.
I've never, to be fair. I give him respect because he's
been in listen, and he's done what he's supposed to do. He's come here, he's been an all-star, he's put up numbers. There was that one season. He was damn near triple it, doubling all the time. Like, he was doing his thing, all right? But the problem is when you now on a team like – and, again, they were figuring it out because they were winning together. But when Brunson kind of, like, developed into the player that he is now, which has been the last 2 months, you know, you have one guy with the ball. If you have a guy like Randall here, that's another plot – that's another spot where the ball stops, right? And unlike Brunson knows how to make the – that's the crazy – like, I'm going to get back to Brunson in a second.
Court vision.
But Randall – even though Randall had his moments, he he's thinking about getting his points up. Like, he's an offensive-minded guy, and that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. Now, I do think the Knicks have such an even amount of chance without him through the playoffs. But ironically, the one series where he really would have made a difference is this one in the Sixers.
You think so?
Absolutely. I think the ball stops, but did you see
a lot more? I think he gets doubled. I think it does create a shot for DiVincenzo or somebody on the outside.
Absolutely. This for and their overall game. But
of the shot clock.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He is a ball stopper, as I was saying. But I think in this series, there's just no matchup for him on the other team. And you see that there's spells where the Knicks just don't know what to do offensively because they're kind of hampering Brunson, right? They're taking away his left.
You go to the Devo Bogdanovich combo.
No, they have been. Because that's the thing. These guys are stepping off offensively for what Randle will be providing, And the ball doesn't stop with them. They just, they're shooters. But the thing with Brunson is, and the way that this system is set up, it's if you, we want you to double team Brunson. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying about a fundamental thing, In Golden State, Steph had to do running around, get screens, get to open spots, do all of that other shit, In other systems, other players have other things. Durant, same thing. Here, it's like, what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We want you to game plan against this because our game plan is whatever your game plan is going to be. So if you come and double Brunson, he's always going to kick it out. And if you don't, he's going to burn you inside. What I mean? Unless you find somebody to defend them properly, which the Sixers have. Now, why I say there's no answer is because with Embiid being hurt, they're big man, and they have who else is on that team that could have guarded Randle right now?
I think they would put Batum on Randle.
But then you leave Brunson open. Do you understand? That's what I'm saying. In this series, he would have made a difference.
But Maxey has been defending. I think Batum and Maxey have done a good job on Brunson.
I think Batum
plays really tight, and Batum has the size.
Batum has been handcuffing him. You saw it in that fourth quarter. Brunson couldn't do anything. He just couldn't do nothing. And hats off to them. Hats off to Nick Nurse. Hella coaching job over there what they're doing. But I will tell you this, man.
I don't like people who cry. Well, we didn't get the timeout.
That was some bullshit because my man is doing all these acrobatics. Is it maybe? Adam?
He became a spectator at that moment and he forgot.
Absolutely.
Fucking basketball game.
He immediately
called the timeout.
You don't inbound that shit. You don't inbound that ball. You do not inbound that ball. You call a timeout and you get it at half court.
Yes.
And we're not even coaches, bro. We know this shit. And we not coaches.
No, but he's like, the ref clearly saw me. But I was like, dude, I don't care. And in the last 2 minutes of NBA playoffs, I want to see a physical game. I do not want to see too many calls.
No.
If it's a foul, it has to be a foul. Now, the D'Angelo Russell foul where he got smacked in the head.
We saw that. Yeah, we saw that clearly. Now, you have to think about it. There was right before those plays where they're saying that they fouled Maxey, Brunson and – after that, Hartenstein on that rebound ended up on the fucking floor. No foul call.
Yeah.
Right? No foul call.
What about
they were all over the place? Yeah. I mean, listen, I just
and immediately know where to go.
Where to go. And this kid, man, Big Ragu. The Big Ragu. I mean, the kid is buckets. First of all, did you see him go at Embiid with the left yesterday? Drove right on. I'm like, you ain't nothing. But we do have to talk about Embiid a little bit. What the hell is going on with him? You heard the thing with his eye? He can't. He has one eye fucked up. They're saying he might have some facial paralysis thing going on with him because they've caught him on camera a couple of times. He can't blink an eye. And then yesterday at the press conference, he had his head down and wasn't making eye contact with reporters. Right. So
that's awkward. And then he's bitching. We're gonna win this series.
Yeah. And so I also found it awkward. Every time the Knicks were making a run and it looked like they were going to take the game back over, he was back on the sidelines getting this. He would go, come and rub my knee, please. The comeback is here. But when, But then all of a sudden, when they're, oh no, I'm here. You know, well,
who told them to throw a ball off the glass and try to dunk it?
Come on, man. On one
leg, first of all,
and also,
NBA player, like you land on both legs. First of all, you don't be doing.
You're not a guard.
He was hammering us that first.
You're not a guard. And on top of that, you want to talk about officiating? You had two reverse calls in that fourth quarter that went against the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
One was a foul that wasn't whatever. There was two or three calls that got reversed there towards the end. Even a foul. There was a
one involved DiVincenzo. I'm trying to remember which one it was, and they reversed it.
I know. It was like three calls. One of them did go. It didn't go to the Knicks. It was instead of free throws, they did a jump ball, right? Yeah. That was the only one. And then there was two more where it was like there had been a foul call. He challenged it, and he won the challenge. And there was two challenges or something like that. So
Kyle Lowry, I think it was DiVincenzo and Kyle Lowry that were and Kyle Lowry.
Right.
That dude be getting me tight all game long. Like every time,
but he's kind of watched. He kind of watched. I like though now he picks his spots, man. He picks his spots to turn it on. Like you're just like true veteran.
He knows he's like, yo, I got a solid 20 minutes. Let me save mine. But you gotta watch if you got the ball and Kyle's on the floor, please keep an eye on that man.
Because.
But I just hate him. You know, he was with Miami, he was with Toronto. He always does it to us. I
hate that fucking guy, especially in Toronto, especially in Miami.
But you mentioning addition by subtraction, right?
That's
basically what happened with OG.
Correct.
I feel there's two guys that I would love to have on the Knicks.
Okay.
I would love to have Bridges from Brooklyn. Now, I know that might not happen, but I feel like if we bring him in, he's already played with our guys. They already
It's a culture thing with them. Yeah. And they all play together.
And I want Phoenix to really lose. Because I'm not interested in Durant.
Okay. You want Book.
But Book, who does not want to be the guy on a team, would fit in beautifully with us. I think that's the problem with Booker. Booker Black, thank you for tuning in, my brother. I think Booker needs a guy next to him that is the main guy. And I think Durant is the same way, so them together doesn't make any sense.
I will tell you this. I will say this, though. And I know he's up there in age now, Durant.
I don't want KD. Don't.
But no. But no, this is what I'm going to tell you, though. He comes to this team. First of all, we don't need him to be Kevin Durant. We just need you to spot up and do jump shots. That's it. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the meanest in the league.
And be a decoy.
He still got it. Like, if he didn't have it, I'd be like, yo, whatever. But I wouldn't be mad if we got it.
Like, baby shit, he's soft. He's not a New York guy, man.
But he is after the legacy, though. I think he is
Tracy
after
Morgan
the legacy.
LeBron can't even play in New York.
LeBron?
Morgan was like, yo, this is New York. This is where we had the Ghostbusters. Stay Puft was walking down the street. Yeah. LeBron, not everybody could play here. LeBron can't
and I get
play
everybody
here.
Pregnant. I get everybody pregnant with five cheese lasagna.
He was just joking, but there's truth to that.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, too, it's what you want. It's listen.
The guys that in New York are guys that are.
But Durant kind of said something the other day that kind of made sense. He said, New York wasn't a sexy place to come to. The brand is always there. He knows the fans are always there. I mean, even Gilbert Arenas said something recently. He said, the reason why people don't come and play here is because of the fans. He says, because the fans are pretty tough, right? Like, if you start sucking right away, they're going to boo you, and not everybody could take that, right? You got to be built tough. Yeah, you got to be built tough.
Melo, the only dude that could have played here. I'm mad that I can't see him play on this
team. Oh, what? Just spot up shooting. We don't need you to do nothing else.
And Melo's a bully. So if he needs to drive the lane and be a bully in the lane, he would.
All I know is, again, the team, how it is right now, it has an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really now, we just taking applications for roles. We're not looking for superstars. What do you do? You rebound? All right, come over here. Offensive rebound? Okay, you can play with it. Because honestly, like, you know, you got to have guys like that they don't care about.
I don't want
a guy like Hart is dropping 22 by accident. You understand what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you look at the stat sheet, you're like, yo, Hart had 22? Like, I'm not surprised like about the rebounds because we see him on every rebound. Right. We see he's a 15, 13 rebound guy. This is not new for him now. But the scoring? Really? How? Where? You know what I mean? How?
When a player gets on the floor and their first intention is just to play defense and play hard.
Just play defense. That's it.
The points come to you. Let me bring Jason Enrique onto the show from first class, second place, Yo BTV Sports. My man Jason, welcome to the pod. This is Jerry. Jerry's got his own pod. Man on Pause podcast.
Hey.
I know. I'm very nice to meet you, man. I'm actually very familiar with the Man on Pause podcast. I've watched a couple episodes, so good stuff, bro.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm humbled. I'm very familiar. I've had way too many friends be on your podcast, so I've definitely listened to yours. Everybody I know, they're like, oh, yeah. So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, Jason, what is your – so me and Jerry, we just went on a tangent, but what is your feeling on how this run has been so far? What did you expect? And are you of the mindset, you know, now everybody's saying Boston, New York, Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not there. Just give me one game at a time. That's all I want. How do you see this, Jason? Ooh, Capitals scored a goal. Rangers 4-3, 7 minutes left. Come on, Rangers, pull this out.
Epic collapse by the Islanders, by the way. Hold on a second. Jesus.
The Islanders not going
nowhere. You guys can hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Can you hear us?
I can barely hear you guys.
You can barely hear us. Damn. Jerry, did you hear? Do you hear Jason's voice?
I can hear Jason's voice. Yeah. You guys, I can do a podcast with both of your voices. I could make pretend that I'm both of you guys, just so you know that. I've been practicing.
You have?
So just so you, yeah.
Give me
what do you think about Knicks this year?
That kind of sounds like Kermit the Frog.
That's you, though.
And then Jason has a very professional voice. He's very. He's got that locutor voice. He's got that thing.
Welcome to first class, second place. My name is Jason Enriquez. Welcome to Bravery Studios.
My 2 a.m. crew. I need y'all to be with me.
My 2 a.m. crew. That's right. Damn, I didn't know I sound like Kermit the Frog like that.
Well, I didn't roll without listening to you too much because I got put on the spot, but it's around there. It's not
Jason's
too far off.
Back. Jason, can you hear us now?
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I think that was my internet.
So, Jason, before we start, me and Jerry, we were trying to, Jerry was doing a voiceover of us two. I don't think he nailed your voice kind of like I did. So, I'm going to give it to you right now so you can hear it. I'm going to do a little... Welcome to first class, second place. My name is Jason Enriquez. Welcome to the podcast. With me today is Jerry Diaz.
You sound like Mr. T, bro. You sound old. That's...
Yeah.
It's more here. Ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to first class. Our guest today is Ricky.
I was telling him you have that locutor voice. Like you need to be on radio. Like you need to hear you.
Jason. He's doing voiceover, and I think he's so perfect for that. Like, I told him it was actually Bago sent me a clip of me and Jason.
Yeah.
He fell off again. And he's like, yo, you and Jason, if y'all do an ASMR pod together, that's money right there.
Yo, that's hilarious.
I'm still mad you said I sound like Kermit the Frog.
I didn't say you sound like Kermit the Frog. You said you sound like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, because of your impression of me, I was like,
Kermit the Frog is up here. You know, tell me again. You're more Ray Romano. Yeah. You're more Ray Romano. You know what I'm saying? That's, you're like in there. I didn't say Kermit the Frog. You say Kermit the Frog.
It sounded like Kermit when you first did it. Jason, can we, let's get your take on the Knicks. Finally, let's see if it works. He's dropping off. I'm sorry about that, brother.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's all good, bro. I think it's me. Well, first and foremost, I'm just having fun, bro. Yesterday, I was excited to watch the game, not only for the game itself, but seeing John Starks and Melo and all the other.
Sprewell, yeah.
Oh, my Sprewell, God. Sprewell, yeah. Oh, my God. And you know, the thing is that I feel like I've seen this movie so many times, like a Scorsese or a Tarantino movie. I know how it ends, where they, you know, Maxi scores.
I don't want to hear it. Let me live in. Day at a time. Let me enjoy.
You know, you know why I'm not doing it one day at a time, bro? All right? Because I was there in the 90s. We lived through all of that. Then we had the 99 season, and then we had the Melo team that did all of that. I wasn't a believer in all of that shit because there was no fundamentals. Not like the ones in the 94. And that's what I'm saying with this team now. And just look at the stat sheet. Everybody talking about the Sixers. What's our record against the Sixers this year? 4-1. Why are we underdogs? You understand? I get it. They're not your typical seven seed. But we earned the second seed. Right. But we earned the second seed. Nobody gave it to us.
Hey. We should have won the two games. We're gonna win this.
But does it have to do with the fact that Julius Randle was out for the season? That's why.
Jerry made a great point that I didn't think about it like this. When Randle went down, addition by subtraction, more shots became available, and that accelerated Jalen's growth. By a lot.
And Dante. Specifically Dante. Yeah. No, and Dante was dropping 30, you know, 20-something, 30 a game. You know, on certain games where Brunson was okay or we needed that second guy, who was there? Double D.
I'm completely okay with playing an entire NBA season without Julius Randle and the current team that we have.
Me too. But, Jason, I was saying that, ironically, the one series that the Knicks would have needed him for, because there's no answer for him on the other side, would have been this one with the Sixers, I think. You know, it would have been an extra body to fill up in the middle. But, look, Celtics, not afraid of the Celtics. I'm sorry. They got two ass-whippings this year. They got some ass-whippings this year, and we gave a couple of them. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Matter of fact, when you give an ass whipping by 40 points to the best team in the league.
Yeah, but they're gonna say it was the end of the year.
Of course. No, they always come with the it's playoffs, it's different, it's all of that. You know what I seen from the Celtics? I seen playoff Tatum. You know what, that's not a good Tatum. You understand what I'm saying? That's not a good Tatum.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, what about
because you what happened?
No, I've seen way too much of him. I don't think – I think KP gets – I don't want to wish injury on anybody, but I think KP gets hurt somewhere along this playoff series. That's just his history.
But you don't think that he's motivated to go against the Knicks, the guys that brought him into the league and basically just threw him away as he feels like they disrespected him with all Phil Jackson nonsense?
We didn't disrespect. He wanted out. He requested.
I'm not saying that we disrespected him. I'm saying that he feels disrespected. That's two different things. We know that he's a little sensitive ass bitch.
He is, but I don't think he's disrespected because he also knows, like, he didn't have like good media when he left. Like all the shit that was going on behind the scenes with him and his brother came out.
Yeah.
So if that hadn't come out, he could have maybe used that as a narrative. But, you know, up to this point, he was a wash. So I think, you know, it is what it is. At least he's winning over there in Boston.
I think he's him and Embiid have to follow the same regimen. They have to play certain games, conserve their energy, kind of like Kyle Lowry does.
Right.
Not do too much and pick their spots. Be a full-time NBA player.
And
well, what else?
Go ahead, sorry, Jason.
No, I was just going to say that what I like what the Knicks have been able to do is make adjustments, because Nick Nurse, right, who's actually a pretty defensive coach, he knew how to contain Brunson. I mean, in game one, Brunson missed like 18 shots or something like that.
And in game two,
he didn't play very well. But that means that, you know, Thibodeau was able to make the adjustments and make the guy and, you know, call the right plays and so on and so forth. And, you know, Josh Hart was actually, you know, looking.
Well, you know, that's crazy that Nurse is betting on wins and loss on really on Hart. He's like, fuck it. If we're going to lose, this is the guy that we're going to lose to?
We're going to give him the space.
You understand?
Yeah, that's crazy. I know exactly where you're coming from.
That's crazy.
I mean, listen, I think that maybe he's just realizing now that this is an uphill battle. Maybe they underestimated the Knicks besides Jalen.
Next man up with the Knicks.
Another thing that's really crucial about playoffs and like, you want to go in hot. You want to go in playing well. You understand? Yeah. And like, you want to be going on the way up. And that's all the Knicks have been doing since, like, on the way towards the playoffs, you know, getting together. Like, yo, how are we going to play without Randle? And I think they kind of figured it out, you know, moving forward. How are we going to do this without Randle?
Yeah. By the way, Monty says hi. He wanted to join.
That's a cute dog.
I also think that because on the Roommates podcast with Jalen and Hart, Tracy Morgan asked him, are you guys locked in already? This is before game one. And Jalen looked at him and he was like, oh, yeah. And he was like, really? Don't get locked in too early. And he's like, no. Like, he's at a certain point. And I think that in game three, if he sees he's still getting the same type of result, I think he's going to switch to the
– He's going
to
adjust.
I'm just going to run the floor. I'm going to adjust. I'm going to kick. I'm going to – and it's going to open up the offensive game, because pretty soon they're going to be like, all right, Jalen's killing us with the passes now. Let's clamp down whoever it is that's – killing us on the outside.
And think about this also, you know, this guy, no matter, like, what does he have to do to get respect in the league, to be feared?
I don't think he'll ever be respected.
But that's what I mean,
guys like Kendrick, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I'm glad guys like Kendrick Perkin exist, because
but check this out, though. If he wins, and he wins here, that's worth like four championships of LeBron's. You understand what I'm saying? You won in New York. Like, if he comes and he wins here, and
Tracy Morgan called him Joe Namath if he wins.
Yo, what I'm saying is he's dropping 40 a night, double teams. The teams know what you're gonna do. Like he's and I love it because he's not getting the respect, and that's the chip that he has on his shoulder that's propelling this team. Because it's like nobody is like, oh yeah, the Knicks are okay. You heard what Paul Pierce said about the Knicks?
No, I don't listen to Paul Pierce.
Reason
to hate him.
I hate Paul Pierce, but this really, he said the Knicks are like an IG model. They look really good in IG, but when you see them in person, you're like, oh, this is it? And Garnett was giving him shit for that. Garnett was like, bro, you crazy. You know, you're crazy. He's like, nah, they're like an IG model. So just keep that in mind. I'm keeping track of everybody talking that shit, especially Draymond. They're going to win game two.
Draymond. I got Draymond on the list. I got Barkley on the list. I got Shaq on the list. Mm-hmm. I got several people, because every day. So I follow Big Nick Energy.
Shout out to Me too.
Every day they post something just to get me going. Like, you're talking about what? Okay,
I don't know if you guys agree with me. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I'm sorry. I know that he's one of the greatest Knicks ever, but his fandom annoys the hell out of me, Stephen A. Smith. Like, I do not.
Oh, I don't want him in the building.
Can we excommunicate him from our fandom? Because I feel like he's an embarrassment whether we win or lose.
I feel like sometimes when I watch him on First Take and he's talking about the Knicks, I feel like he's pretending. I feel like he's
act. Listen, you have to be pretending.
I don't feel like it's authentic.
No, you. Let me put it to you. I'm going to tell you why it's not authentic. We don't do sport. Our job is not to do sports on ESPN. We don't get paid for that shit, right?
Yeah.
But we know who's on rosters, who's on teams, who's on, especially our team.
Schematics.
And when you're talking about a guy whose job is to do that, and he's talking about Grimes has been looking good lately, What the fuck are you talking about? That, you, you lost all credibility as a Deeks fan with me when you said that shit. Let me tell you. Big ass word. Let me tell you.
I mean, but that's what he's out there. Jerry, you know, the business is clickbaits, and he's of out course. There to create that. And
but he ain't no New York Knicks fan. We'll trade him. Let's trade him.
I'd rather... Why don't we get Tracy on the mic more? Tracy Morgan on the... Spike earned his stripes. I mean, Spike's
is dead.
He activated Reggie. I wasn't too crazy about that. Like,
yeah, and also, let's not forget that Stephen A. Smith lost my respect as a fan when he likes to dub himself as the mayor of Miami. I think he's a closeted Heat. I think he's a closeted Heat fan, in all honesty. Because when the mayor of Miami is here,
my whole beef with him is when he comments on other sports like baseball, football.
Stop. Right.
And the worst of all is when he does MMA. So when I saw Stephen A. Smith commenting on MMA, I was like, oh my God, this is ESPN. Don't make me throw up.
It's just, you know, not everything is for everybody, bro. You know, not everything is for everybody. Right. And they tried to talk anime that day. Yeah,
you have your football analyst. ESPN, you could have went out. You call ESPN, call me. I'll be your MMA analyst. I know about chokes. I know about holds. I know fighters. I know fighters' weaknesses. I'll go up there and I'll explain. I'll break down fights. I'll call me. I got you. You know.
Right. And, you know, let me know. Yeah. And let's not forget. Stephen A. Smith say that he grew up a Steelers fan, but he always has to put out there that I'm a native New Yorker and I'm New York too. Well, then why do you claim to? Why do you say that you're a Steelers fan? But you say you love the Giants and so on and so forth.
Because he's really he was in Philly. He followed. He was the one who followed Iverson's career in Philly. Right. He wasn't even here in New York. Yeah. He was never here in New York. So
I don't know, Stephen A. Smith. We don't believe you. You need more people.
Yes, Stephanie.
Stephanie.
We call him Stephanie on my show.
Now, Jerry, so, are you a Giants fan?
What's up?
Are you a Giants fan?
Yes.
Jerry and me share every single team.
We share, but to be fair, I've slowed down on my football love. Like I've taken a step back.
Well, we're not going to be good for another 6 years. So,
No, when I stopped, like really, because it was like the whole Kaepernick shit. That whole stuff, like it wasn't the Kaepernick stuff, but no, I'm not. It wasn't the Kaepernick stuff. It was the shit around the Kaepernick stuff. Because it's not Kaepernick. It was the shit around Kaepernick stuff, you know, and all that. And I just like, and also like, it's a little barbaric, and I don't like how they don't take care of their, their older athletes and stuff. That's all other stuff. But I don't take anybody's love away from the game. Like if you can still, you still love it, but. If you ask me what's my team, I'm a Giants fan, true and true. I was there for all the Super Bowls. I'm like, you know what I mean?
You're a Mets fan, if you wanted to know.
And I'm also a Mets fan. Because I like to suffer a little bit.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm a Jets fan, so I'm a masochist.
Shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. No, don't apologize. I did it to myself, okay?
He actually chose
the Jets.
He gave me the story.
And listen, Jets is not like the Jets to me aren't like the Yankees or the Nets. Like
no way.
I've supported the Jets.
They don't even
know. Supported the Jets. Yeah. I've supported the Rex
Ryan years because I
love
Rex Ryan.
He was good, yeah. I'm a little bit partial to the Jim Parcells years with Curtis Martin with Testaverde and Curtis Martin. Wayne Corbett. Yeah, I followed that team.
A hard-nosed football player. He's New York through and through. Right. That dude was an undersized slot receiver. He used to get concussions all the time,
By the way, Rick, the studio that I do the podcast out of, Bravery Studios, is in Bravery Garfield, Studios. And you know who's from Garfield as well, right?
Who? Wayne Corbett. So you got to have him on.
Oh man, there's nothing more that I would love than to have him. I've already had Joe Benigno on my show. I've had Jay Bromley on the show.
That's dope.
There's no reason why we can't get Wayne Corbett on. I'm pretty sure that Joe
Marv got a connection to him somehow.
Yeah, I, well, not just that, but I know that Shit, I'll even try to get Tiki Barber on the show because Joe Benigno.
No. Tiki Barber is dead to me.
Hold on, let me ask you something. Who was that famous the white linebacker that you just had in the '80s?
Lines.
Wait.
He had the crazy last name.
And his son
Gastineau.
Yeah, Mark Gastineau. I repoed his car.
Oh, shit. I just remembered one person that we're working on getting on the show and it's looking like it's heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
Willie Colon.
Really? Oh, the football player. He went to Cardinal Hayes. Yeah. I thought you meant the musician first.
Not the singer. Not the singer.
Not the singer.
That tells my age. I was like, oh shit, Willie Colon.
Not the salsa creator, no.
Yeah, Willie Colon went to Cardinal Hayes. Actually, one of my good friends that went to school with me went to Cardinal Hayes with Willie Colon, and him and Willie are really close, they're really tight. So let me know if that doesn't work out. I could call David.
All right. But now you got me bugging out because now if I ever see Gastineau, if I ever talk to him, I'd be like, so you ever had your car repoed?
Listen, I used to work for a repo place in Jersey in my early 20s. Yeah, and I repoed some cars that people were like, yo, nah, it's my accountant, it's not me. Like, they were completely embarrassed about stuff. Not him. Straight up, like, he was going through some... He did go through some, you know, some
football
drug
players,
stuff,
man.
And
they
shit.
Don't get that money like that. It's not guaranteed.
Nah.
So if you get cut, that money you won't be able to make that. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've repoed like all Giant players. Like, you know, they made a play like 1 or 2 years with the Giants, a receiver, a safety, something. And then, you know, I gotta go get your car back. I gotta get, you know, you making no payments on it.
All right, Jerry, let me know. I can't go to Jersey with you. I don't want to. I'm not trying to cast no strays.
Nah. That was a long time
Jerry,
ago.
By the way, Jerry, I just followed. I already followed your podcast page, but I just followed you on Instagram.
I follow right back. Yeah, I thought I was following you already. My bad.
So okay. I want to thank you both for hopping on this podcast. Tuesday. We're doing the Rick A Show live Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8:30 live streaming. I will have guests. I will be recording episodes at the studio. I just like the live interaction with the audience. I like the questions. I love that. I feel like when I went back to just recording in person, I kind of lost a little bit of that. And now that I'm doing sports and comedy, which I could do, you know, I could do a Tuesday comedy show. I could do a Thursday sports. So it's a really good way to juggle it. So I'm really happy that I'm back on the air and I'm back to doing this live. So we'll see you guys on Thursday. Let me check that Rangers game real quick. Hopefully
can I plug some real quick?
Yep. Rangers won.
Nice.
Go ahead, Jason.
I'm a Devils fan, unfortunately. So I'm going to plug it real quick. So,
Christ, man. I'm going to take you off the show right now.
Hey, at the end of the day, Rick, we know who won that voiceover battle.
Hey, facts. Wow. Facts. I'm going to give
it
to
you. We could do it again.
Let's do a rematch.
We could do it again. Right. Matter of fact, May 9th, I'm going to the studio, and I'm going to be on First Cast, Second Place. We all shoot some content. Who has the better? We'll go on the live, and we'll let the audience decide.
I'm going to send you some scripts for y'all to read.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. Go ahead, Jason.
So, so tomorrow, live at 7 p.m. on YouTube, Bravely Network TV, Yo BTV Sports. So, Hugo's not joining me tomorrow. He's actually working with the the Harlem Wizards right now. So, I'm going to be doing a solo show. But for anybody that wants to call in, I'm going to give the number on live. I'm going
to
be solo.
Jason,
so
you didn't
we
tell
can talk
me
about
I would have drove out. I would have drove out to Jersey. I would have did one, me and you.
I mean, the spot's still open if you want to come through.
He's like, yo, it's like,
what are you talking about? It's still there, yeah.
I'll let you know. I'll text you in the morning, and I'll let you know if I could do it.
All right, cool. So if you want to come through, you're more than welcome. If not, guys, call in the show. We'll take all your questions and so on and so forth. Looking forward to it, man. So be tuned in.
I love that show. I love it. It's live as well.
Can I plug something?
Go ahead. Oh, please do Bago's. This is me now.
This is we now. We're doing a comedy sketch show May 11th at the Pregones Theater in the Bronx. Tickets are I think we sold almost 100 tickets already, bro. It's that Jesus, they're going fast. We might have to do another show. Might have to convince them. But for right now, it's just one show. But we're getting ready. This is we now. The return of Juan Bago and Jay Ferns to the stage. I'm already on stage, so I don't need this shit. But no, I'm gonna help them out. It's gonna be fun, man. We got some crazy shit. I'm cooking up some shit for that show. So it's gonna be fun, man. So please get your tickets and try to get there. This is we now. May 11th.
I'll plug it in.
Saturday, May 11th. Saturday, May 11th at the Pregones Theater. Holla at me.
My birthday is May 3rd, so I thought it was going to be on my birthday weekend.
We can still make it your birthday.
It's my birthday, May 3rd. Y'all need to let me go in.
Yo, Jason, we'll talk, bro. Bro, we'll talk, Jason. We'll talk.
All right, but Rick, thank you for having me on for a little bit, man. Always
a pleasure. Yeah, man. Brother. Thank you.
I've been doing this often. Last week, I had a couple of people that randomly brought them in, and we just joined the discussion. Let's have the conversations we have in barbershops, at work, in the water cooler about sports. All these arguments, bring it here. Let's settle it here. I'll see you guys on Thursday, 8:30, same time, same channel. And here's my outro.
You feel that knock? I feel like Rocky in this one, baby. Let's go. Alright, check it. Blast from the past, back from the future. So if I pull the trigger in the past, it's no you and your future. I'm still hustling, still hugging the block. The referee to the shit, I'm still calling them shots. I can't be stopped. That's what I told you, I'm living my life like a box of Crayolas. I'm cutting up white, smoking that green. Purple color pens, I'm still making this cream. I'm so sick, check my throat quick. My wrist light up a room like a handful of glow sticks. I'm like spoiled milk, the kids gone bad. Then it's the menace, my pen touches the pad. Niggas is mad, but the ladies is glad. Yo, they rubbing up against